Welcome to Take Aim. My name is Denny Wilson, and I'm the preacher for the Parkview Church of Christ. We're glad that you're here this evening.
Before we get into our lesson this morning, let's go to God in a word of prayer. Our kind and merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day and the blessings of the day and the opportunity that we have to be here this morning to study from your word, to learn the lessons that you have laid out for us in Scripture so that we can know how we ought to live. Help us to have the humility to follow your direction and guidance and to travel the path that you've laid out for us. Help us to understand the lessons from our study today that we are defiled and not from the things that are on our hands, but the things that we put in our heart. And help us to guide our heart and protect it and to keep our thoughts pure as we live for you each day. Help us to live in such a way that we get to go to heaven and be with you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open them to Mark chapter 7. As we continue our study through the Gospel of Mark, and as we look at these wonderful lessons laid out for us in the life of Christ, the man of God, Jesus Christ, who Mark is trying to teach the Romans about, and as we consider the faithfulness and the life that he lived, but as well as the things that he taught, the things he both did and taught, as Luke would tell Theophilus in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We're going to be looking at verses 14 through 23 this morning, a continuation of the lesson we started last week. As we said, there was no way we were going to finish it all in 1 week, so we've divided it in two. Let's start reading at verse 14. When he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of a man, those things are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him? But it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods." And he said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." Now, in our previous discussion, the Pharisees had come. They had come with the scribes that come from Jerusalem. They came to attack Jesus. They were looking at everything he did. They were watching, looking for any opportunity they could to bring a ridicule against him. They were laying in wait. They were setting a trap, if you will. And they accused him of this dastardly deed of not washing their hands before they ate. You know, such horrible thought, right? Hadn't washed your hands. There's nothing wrong with washing your hands, but the impetus of their argument is that you were then spiritually impure because you didn't wash your hands before you eat. And so he was telling them, he rebuked them, if you will, telling them that washing their hands and following all these ceremonial washing, where they wash the outside of the cup, where they washed their body, where they washed the different things, the basin, and so on and so forth, had no bearing on their spiritual state. Now, you ought to clean your house. That's not the discussion. But the fact of the matter is, he was going to teach them that they were wrong. And then he started to address the crowd to help them understand. He knew the effects of this kind of false doctrine, how it would affect the thinking of others, and how it could cause them to go down the wrong road. The same is true today. If you're listening to denominational radio all the time, or you're reading books that the world has written, instead of reading the book that God has written, your view of spiritual things is going to be skewed. Those seeds, when planted, will cause doubt. They'll cause you to have thoughts you shouldn't have, whether it's stuff you see on television or things you hear on the radio or things you see on the internet. These things will have an effect on your spiritual life. And so we have to guard against those things. And Jesus knew that this false doctrine would have an effect on the hearts of the crowd. So he addressed them and helped them to understand that the Pharisees were in error. And he wanted them to be able to reason properly from Scripture. And this is really a common sense type thing. And yet they were off. The Pharisees were off. And so he wanted them to distinguish between right and wrong and truth and error. And so he began to explain the Pharisees and their philosophy. Their ideas were backwards. It's not what goes into a man that defiles a man. It's what comes out of a man. Now, physical dirt or germs do not defile someone spiritually. Yes, there are things that we could consume. There are things that we could participate in, things that we could do that will harm the body or even cost someone their life. There are poisons, there are toxins, there are cancer-causing agents. There are things that destroy the body. Like we could talk about being an alcoholic and what it does to the liver and the brain cells. We could talk about someone who's a smoker, what it does to the lungs. We could talk about someone who participates in a dangerous activity where they're surrounded by certain chemicals. Probably your television, when you do watch it, is filled with commercials from some lawyer in a class action lawsuit about somebody who's been affected by something in the past. There are chemical things, there are things that are toxins that can harm the body. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. And that still doesn't defile you spiritually, just physically. There are things like spoiled foods, bacteria, viruses that can destroy the body. You may have known someone who got botulism from something they ate, or they have experienced some other form of foodborne illness and they died. You may know someone who suffered from something along those lines. We know of people over the past 2 years who died from a virus. In fact, we've known people who've died from their viruses all of our lives. But the fact is, there are things that can destroy the body once they get in the body. But it doesn't destroy the soul. And Jesus is trying to help them understand. It's not what you put in your body that matters. It's what comes out of your heart that matters. And so he's trying to help them to work through this logic and reasoning. The dirt on your hands will never cause you to lose your soul. The pollutants that come out of your mind, though, can cause you to lose your soul. It's the heart that matters, not the hands. So Jesus teaches the crowd this in a very simple one-sentence message. It's not what comes out of the, it's not what goes into the body, it's what comes out that matters. And so he left the crowd, he enters the house, he goes in there with the disciples, and we are able to learn a little bit more about the disciples and their mentality. Now, we just talked about it when Jesus walked on the water. We just talked about it when he fed the 5,000. It shows a lacking of their character and understanding of who Jesus is. They still have some of that now. He had just told them, "Oh, you of little faith." And here they are again in this kind of mindset. Now, Matthew's account tells us that Peter asked a question, wanting to know more about the parable. Mark's account just says the disciples did, but it probably was a surprise to Jesus that they weren't getting it. He even asked, "Are you still not understanding this? You still don't get this?" You ever taught anybody something, and about the 55th, 60th time, you're like, "Oh, do you still not understand? I'm pulling my hair out here." Probably you have. The fact of the matter is, Jesus is saying, "Why don't you understand this?" They didn't understand the simple message Jesus just shared with the crowd, with the multitude. This is not a complicated message. In fact, it's nothing new. It still continues in our day. There are people that are not able to understand. The Bible's very clear on what it wants us to do. It tells us how to be saved. In fact, to use some very, very plain language, Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." And yet, here we are, 2,000 years later, and the world, if you listen to the denominational world, if you listen to our physical world, the secular world, they're all telling you all different ways in which you can be saved. They'll tell you that all paths lead to God. No, they do not. Jesus gave a very simple message. Believe and obey. Believe and be baptized. There's nothing complicated about it. But many of the religious leaders in our day, quote unquote religious leaders, do not understand it any more than the religious leaders of Jesus' day. It's a very simple message, but it's one that people try to get around. But for the Pharisees, for the crowd, for the disciples, Jesus would make it very clear. And he's going to illustrate it in a simplistic term. It's what comes out of your heart, not what goes in your mouth, that matters. According to Matthew, the disciples were even concerned that the Pharisees were mad. Why would they be concerned that the Pharisees were mad? Could it be that there is some influence on the religious leaders of their day on the disciples? Well, I think there probably is. Are there things that shape your opinion in your mind? Absolutely. You can tell a lot about a person by how they talk, and you can tell about what they watch and who they listen to. You can tell very easily. In our day, it's pretty prevalent. You can tell which news channel someone watches by what they talk about. You can see somebody's opinion on politics by how they act about the things that are going on in society. It's easy to see that. It's simple. So it's very possible that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the religious leaders of the day had an effect on the disciples as well. But they were concerned that the Pharisees were mad. The people thought of them as religious leaders in a lot of ways as well. But Jesus told them about the Pharisees in very plain terms. They're blind leaders of the blind, and they'll both fall in the ditch. As we talked about last week, the Pharisees would travel all around the world just to make someone twice the child of the devil. They were wrong. They didn't understand what was right and wrong, and they were telling people things that were wrong, and people were following things that were wrong. They would be lost. Jesus would often rebuke them, and he would warn the disciples of them. He even warned them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. You get a little bit of that leaven in the dough, and he says, that little bit of leaven will leaven the whole lump. If you allow that kind of stinking thinking of the world to creep into your mind spiritually, it will shape your mind. You will be going in the wrong direction. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. But these disciples still don't get it. They don't understand this simple message, even though it's not complicated. And so it appears they didn't even understand the Pharisees were wrong about this, including, you know, various ceremonial things, but in particular, the hand washing. Now, I don't know how much of their thinking, again, is influenced, but it appears they have. So Jesus is going to help them. He's going to correct them, and he's going to give them an illustration that none of us can misunderstand. I mean, this is as clear as it gets. So just to be clear, he expands on his thought. When you consume food, even if there's dirt on it, and dirt on your hands, the food goes into the stomach. It goes through the digestive processes. The nutrients that your body needs are going to be pulled out and used in the body, including some things you don't need. But the rest of it is going to be run through the body. It's going to go out in waste. It's broken down. And so it will be removed from the body. So regardless of what you ate, you're going to have it pass through you. That's the idea. But what you put in your heart leads to how you act and behave, the things you say and the things you do. Our hearts do not become defiled because of how we wash a bowl or a cup or a fork or the cabinet. Our hearts do not become defiled when we don't follow some ritualistic approach to washing ourselves. Our hearts only become defiled when we fill our minds with filth and garbage and wickedness and shape our lives and begin to act and behave accordingly. The things you put in your heart, you will do. Now, we've talked about speech many times. I'll use this language again just because it's easy for us to understand. If you don't think the people around you shape how you behave and the things you say, then you're not paying good attention, because wherever you live, you're going to speak a little bit differently based on where you live. I grew up in Kansas. Most people up there said, "You guys." You know what? They say y'all a little bit now, too. But right next door in Missouri, my cousins all said "you-ins." And down here, you say "y'all." And if you go to the Northeast, you're going to hear them say "you guys" or other things like that. Where you live matters. I was on a conference call this week, and the guy kept calling the soft drink "pop." I was like, "I know you live in the North." I grew up calling it pop, too, in Kansas, or soda. Down here, it's all Coke. It doesn't matter what you drink, right? You know what? It's worse than that. You hang around with somebody who uses a particular phrase or a certain language, and what you're going to find yourself doing a few days later is you're going to be in the middle of a conversation, and that's going to come out. I told you a couple years ago, I was training a man from Canada, and every other phrase, every other word, he would say, "right." He'd say, "We're going to do so-and-so, right? I need to do this, right? How's everything going, right?" I mean, every other sentence was "right." And you know what? After a week of having him in my pickup, well, 2 weeks really, but you know what? At the end of the 2 weeks, you know what I was doing? "Right?" And listen, that's true of the wicked things too. If you surround yourself and you hang around with the people that are doing things that are evil, it's going to rub off on you. Nobody walking around in the world is going to think about doing some of the things that are evil and wicked unless they're tempted and surrounded by those who do those things. There are many things in our world that destroy us because we put them in our minds. Our hearts and our minds is where we think and feel and reason and plan and believe, and ultimately it leads to how we act. It's what's in our minds that helps us to be more right with God or to be more like the world. And if our minds are filled with evil thoughts and evil ideas and evil actions, our actions will ultimately be evil and they will defile us. Jesus is going to list several things that fit in this category, and we don't have time to go over each one of these. Let's just suffice it to say these are all wicked. And if you want to study them more, do that. You'll find out just how wicked they are. But he says the things that come out of the heart first had to be put in the heart. These evil actions are because of who you are on the inside. And he starts to list them. This is what defiles a person. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Have any of those 13 things changed in their level of wickedness today? No, they're still wicked today, 2,000 years after Jesus said it. These are wicked things. Where do they come from? It's not from the food you eat. It's from what you're watching, what you're reading, who you surround yourself with. It comes from the world. There was a discussion on the news a couple days ago about one of the things that's going on in Ukraine. And they're asking people to say a certain word because those who are of Russian descent and Russian nationality, speaking the Russian language, have a hard time pronouncing the word. You know that same thing happens in the Bible, right? There's a great story of defeat and victory based on how one pronounces a word. Your speech betrays you, they would tell Peter in that courtyard as they were getting ready to crucify Jesus. Who you are, who you surround yourself with, the things you do, it will be shown in your life. And so we cannot defile our hearts. We cannot put these evil things into our minds. Jesus said plainly, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. Evil deeds start out of the heart. Sinfulness begins in the heart. Sinfulness begins with sinful thoughts. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are what you are and who you are because of what you're thinking. We have to make sure we control our minds. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. You work hard on keeping your heart pure and holy before God. It's important that we fill our minds with the Word of God, with good thoughts, and eliminate the evil. You know, there are many wicked things that come into our mind and shape our hearts and our minds, and we have to avoid those. But there are things that we need to understand that can help us in this journey. For one, we're all tempted in the same ways, and so we can know these things and avoid them. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Do you understand what he just said? You have no excuse for doing what's right. We're all tempted the same way, and God will never allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to overcome. If you gave in, it's your fault. God made it possible for you to overcome. You don't have to give in to sin and sickness and the world. As we studied in our Bible class this morning, when they came into the land and they received all the blessings of the land, they were not to think they had done this on their own. They were supposed to be humble and understand God gave it to them. They could have never received all that on their own. In fact, if it was up to them, they would have still been in Egypt. And in fact, once they started the journey, they wanted to go back to Egypt multiple times. They would have never received the land if it was up to them. You see, it was God who blessed them. You see, so many times we want to blame everything under the sun. If I go into sin, it's my own fault. I should know better, and I should know that God is there with me and I can overcome. Corrupt thoughts will cause us to be lost, and it will be my own fault. In James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, James makes it very clear. He said, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and is enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Do you understand what James said? When I sin, it's because I wanted to. When I sin, it's because I first put the idea in my mind. And then it grows and it develops until I take action on it. It's my own fault. You know, last week we talked about Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and following, where we talked about setting our minds where Christ is, setting our minds on heaven, on God, on where Jesus is, and not on things of the earth. Well, going forward in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, he tells us not only do we set our mind on things above, we also have to get a bunch of junk out of our minds. You know, it's springtime, just about. I'd say in the 90s on Friday and this next week as well. That's springtime. The trees out front are blooming. I don't know if you noticed that this morning. It's springtime. You know what they always talk about spring, right? Spring cleaning. There's a lot of us need to clean a bunch of junk out of our minds. And that's what he says here. Verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things: anger, malice, wrath, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man. And he goes on and on and on. We've got to get rid of the evil thoughts. We cannot let them be in our hearts and our minds. They will defile us. They will cost us our souls. We must not lie, Ephesians 4:25. We must not be filled with wrath, verse 26. We must not steal, verse 28. We must not use corrupt words, verse 29. We're to let go of all the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the clamor, and evil speaking, and even the corrupt words with all malice, verse 31. And so on and so on it goes. There are many things that we've got to get out of our minds. We've got to wash our minds clean. You know, when I was young, I don't know if anybody does it anymore, I doubt it, but I was young, I said something I shouldn't. You know what my dad did? He washed my mouth out with soap. You know, I'd heard of people doing that, but he actually did it. How many of y'all have tasted some soap? I know you have. Come on now. You know the old expression, the only time they ever take the foot out of the mouth is when they put the other one in it? Some of us have done that. There's a lot of evil thoughts, evil actions, and wicked things that we've got to get out of our minds. If you put it in your mind, it's going to come out. Not just out of your mouth, but out of your actions. When we obey the gospel, when we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, when our sins are taken away, our minds are washed clean. And we need to quit thinking about the wicked things of the world. We need to stop. We're supposed to put off that old man of sin and put on the new man, Ephesians 4 and verse 24. 2 Corinthians 5:17 puts it this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And a lot of us need a new mind. We need to put off the wicked ways of this world. It's not what goes into the body because you didn't wash your hands that defiles a man. It's what you put in your heart, because those things you put in your heart are going to come out. And that's what defiles us. It makes us sinful before God. The question is, are we in Christ? Do we need to put off the old man of sin and become a new creature in Christ Jesus? The way we do that is believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, repenting of our sins, confessing him as Lord, and being baptized for the remission of sins, where the Lord adds us to the church, where we become a part of the family of God. If you need to do that today, we want to help you get your mind renewed and wiped clean from the sinfulness of the world. It may be you're already a Christian and you've gone back into sin. You've gone back into putting wicked thoughts into your mind. You've defiled yourself with evil thoughts and evil actions. Those things will come out of you unless you repent of those things and change your heart and mind and fill your mind with the good things. I was going to reference it. I guess I will now. I skipped over it earlier. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 is a very an important passage in how we keep our minds pure. Paul says this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." When we get rid of the wickedness that's in our hearts and our minds, we need to fill our minds with something good. We need to be students of the Bible. We need to think on the good things of God, things that are praiseworthy and virtuous. We need to put our hearts and minds focused each day on Christ Jesus. So if you have backslid from that, you backtracked in your life, you've gone back to the world and evil thoughts, you need to get rid of those. The way you do that is you go to God and ask for forgiveness. You repent of that sin. He will forgive you and he will wash you clean. He will continually wash you clean as you try to live the Christian life and do your absolute best to be faithful to him. Repent of your sins when you commit them. You can trust in the faithfulness of God. You can change all that wickedness that's been in the past right now. Whether you need to put on Christ in baptism or you need the prayers of the church, or if it's something you can take care of on your own, you can go to God and ask him for forgiveness. If you need us to help you with that, if you need the prayers of the church, if you need to put on Christ in baptism, don't hesitate. You've got to have a clean mind if you want to go to heaven.